Holy God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, illuminate our darkened world that we may turn our focus to you and live faithfully in the light of Christ. Amen. So in my career as a surgical nurse, I have been privileged to witness some pretty amazing medical interventions. There was such an incredible evolution of technology and technique in the time when I started in the operating room from the late 1970s to the 2000s and beyond. These advances continue on a regular basis. For example, when I started out in surgery, there was little use of telescopes to see inside the body. But by the time I left the operating room almost 15 years ago, we were doing many, many surgeries through the use of scopes, and recovery times had been lessened, and pain after surgery significantly reduced for many people. We had come a long way, and I'm sure much longer since I have left. And I've also seen some very strange and unexpected things. I will never forget the day a surgeon asked me to order leeches. Yes, you heard me correctly, leeches. Like blood-sucking leeches, the same ones that as kids we poured salt on after they had attached themselves to our skin when we were swimming in the lake. I thought, it must be April Fool's Day. But he was serious. He was serious. You see, one of the ways that leeches can help is to bring circulation to areas of the body that have trouble getting oxygen and nutrients to the skin after a skin graft. And it works. It can work. Still, it is strange medicine indeed, and frankly, a little bit creepy. That's kind of the way I feel about this story in Numbers today. Moses and the Israelites are still wandering around in the wilderness after leaving Mount Hor. It was there that Aaron became ill and died. The wandering people have just completed a 30-day mourning for one of their leaders. And it wasn't long before that time when Moses' sister Miriam was buried in Kadesh. They have been out in the wild for a long time, nearly 40 years. They've been denied passage through lands that would have made their journey less arduous. And it seems that they have experienced sometimes more losses than gains. Many in their number have just about given up on the dream of freedom. Freedom in a new land as God's chosen, and a new generation doesn't even remember captivity and slavery. They are realizing that freedom is not all it's cracked up to be. Freedom is big, uncharted territory, and it's full of uncertainty and hard decisions and choices. Gratitude fatigue has set in, and the people lapse into distrust and complaining, or what is known as the murmuring of the Israelites. They've been faced with stinky water, no water, the same food day in and day out. Where the complaints in the past have mostly been whinings and complaining and grumbling to Moses and Aaron, this time their frustration comes pouring out, and the people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt into this wilderness, they ask. There is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food that you gave us. One of the sources that I read this week called it the Let's Go Back to Egypt Committee. But scripture tells us that God sent servants to plague the people, and many died from their bites of poison. It's not exactly the response that they or we would have expected. It's kind of like that old parental warning of giving us something to cry about. Recognizing their sin, recognizing the error of their ways, the people plead with Moses to intervene for them. I imagine the people expected more of what has happened in the past. The miraculous mercy of God appears, manna comes down from the sky, water springs up from a rock, and the snakes will disappear. But God is a mysterious physician who brings to them even stranger medicine. Moses is commanded to fashion the likeness of a serpent in bronze and to place it on his staff. All who gaze upon the snake wound around the staff are cured of the poison within them. Simple, right? But if we're paying attention, we might notice that the snakes remain among the people, and they continue to strike them with their poisonous fangs. Those who are bitten are challenged to focus on the very representation of the instrument of their torture, and to look their sin directly in the eyes as it is lifted up before them. This is the medicine that they are presented with as the cure for their dis-ease of distrust. It is a stark reminder for us that God's ways are not our ways. You know, the language of self-examination is not absent in our culture. There are many traditions in our world, religious and secular, that embrace self-reflection and the uncovering. The daily practice of the Ignatian examen and the personal inventory that is so vital in recovery from addiction are just two of them. It's often difficult and necessary work that we are called to do. Seeking to uncover truth can be painful and may leave us with raw emotion that we just don't know what to do with. Wanting to turn back is a natural response. We may throw up our hands and cry, "It's too much, God. I cannot go through with it." I think it's a trap when we think of the practice of looking at ourselves as self-examination, as if it's something we do entirely in isolation, without assistance or counsel from God or from others. In fact, the Israelites eventually forgot the saving power of God that the bronze servant represented and began to worship the symbol itself, mistaking the cure for the real source of renewal and restoration. And the Book of Wisdom reminds us, we are saved not by the thing that was beheld, but by you, Savior of all. Jesus tells the Pharisee Nicodemus, see, this story that Jesus talks about in the gospel, this story that's referred to in Numbers, comes as a part of this lesson that he's telling the Pharisee Nicodemus. He tells him, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Nicodemus has come to see Jesus sneaking, dare we say, slithering about in the darkness of night for fear of being seen with the controversial teacher and truth teller that has drawn the ire and suspicion of his fellow religious leaders. Poor Nicodemus. Don't you know that we are only as sick as our secrets and our fears? God's remedy as we wander in the wilderness is both the agent of our death and the healing that we so desperately want. God does not choose to remove the perils and the hazards of the present, but in turn, God became incarnate in Jesus Christ to bring us new life, to walk with us in those snaky places, and lift us to the place where fear becomes courage, woundedness becomes healing, and sin becomes forgiveness. Having authentic life involves us walking out into the light and lifting our eyes to Christ. In Barbara Brown Taylor's book, Speaking of Sin, she describes this conversation about bad choices and consequences that she has with a friend of hers as they embark on a lengthy interstate drive. In this life, her friend says, it's possible to get away with stuff we do for a long time. We can hide it or lie about it, and the fallout may take years to catch up with us. But the reality is that in God's life, everything is present and revealed. When you make a choice, there is absolutely no delay in feeling the consequences of it. Taylor replied, "You make it sound as if hell is a function of getting closer to God instead of further away." To which her friend answered, "Well, maybe it is. Maybe God's grace is to let us feel hell so acutely that we decide that we don't want to live there anymore." As we come to this halfway point in our Lenten journey, we might ask ourselves, what does God's strange medicine offer to us? Is there a place of brokenness, a place of longing that you are living with that might be inviting you to bring your eyes to rest upon the cross for a time, to raise that up to Christ and find healing? Paul, in his letter to the church in Ephesus, reminds us of God's richness in mercy, of God's great love that exists even when we were dead in our sins, a love that makes us alive again in Christ. In that love and in God's grace, we are moved from mere snake worship, motivated by fear and desperation, into faith and trust in the sacrament of healing and reconciliation. God has made us for freedom, to live and move in the light of Christ, who came not to condemn the world, but to save it. Amen.